One of the things that we are seeing in our nation and around the world today, actually, is the importance of the father in the home. The U.S. Census Bureau actually recently came out with a statement where they basically found that one out of every four children live without a father in the home. It's been determined that almost all social ills are as a result or have what is called the father factor as a part of it. In other words, the dad is not in the home. A child without a father is four times greater risk of living in poverty than a child with a father in the home. They are seven times more likely to be involved in teen pregnancies. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. Now this one got me. 90% of all homeless and runaway youth come from a fatherless home. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral problems come from a fatherless home. 71% of all school dropouts, 70% of all juveniles in the state-operated institution, 75% of all youth substance abuse patients, and they say now that 75% of all rapists are motivated by displaced anger due to absent fathers. So you see that what we're experiencing is in homes where dad is not there, dad is absent. It is one of these situations where it has a great impact. One of the things I read even recently was they went into death row and they found that almost every person that was on death row never knew their father or their father was not in the home. It has an incredible impact. I would even venture to say that dads, you have more impact on the life of your child than mom does. Now that's a touchy one. Dad, you have an incredible impact, whether you think it or not. So today we want to encourage dads. And one of the things that we want to do is encourage us in a way that a man is encouraged. Now, it doesn't take a PhD or any special schooling to know dads and moms are wired different. It's pretty obvious. Moms, you love on Mother's Day to get the flowers and the cards and the beautiful sentiments and everything else. And dads, you're going, yeah, whatever. Let's grill. Yeah, I mean, it's we are very different in how things go. And even in that sense, we love to know that our kids love us. But the one thing with men is we like to accomplish something, don't we? If I were to ask the question of any of us this morning, how many of you would like to leave a legacy for your children? I think every man would say, absolutely, I want to leave a legacy. So this morning, I want to challenge us as fathers on leaving a lasting legacy. And I want to look at a story in the Bible, and one that's a great one that kind of gives us a picture of how we can leave a lasting legacy, a godly legacy. And it's found in Luke chapter 15. And we're going to talk about what is called the prodigal father. Now, maybe you have heard this story from a different title called the prodigal son. But what's interesting is this story in and of itself has just as much to talk about the father as it does about the son. And so in Luke chapter 15, we are going to start reading in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The story has always intrigued me. Now, understand that this is not a true story. This is not a story that actually happened. This is a parable. A parable is a story told by Jesus to prove a point, to teach a lesson. And really, when we look at this, what we see is this is a great parable of the gospel. It talks about the love of God towards sinful man and what that looks like. But we see in this the incredible nature of what a father who is leaving a legacy would look like. Jesus, or God, gives us a great example of one to follow. And so we see this story, and you wonder to yourself, well, if it was a true story, do you think that the son was impacted by the way in which the father welcomed him home? Do you think it would have had a lasting impact on him? Absolutely. You know that son would have been changed from that moment on because it was an unexpected thing. And sometimes leaving the legacy is the unexpected things we do, but yet they're the expected things that God has asked us to do. Now, before we go any farther, one of the things that might happen in a moment like this is some of us might say, okay, I can check out. For example, if you're a woman, you're not a father yet. At this point, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a daughter in that sense. Again, just like I said on Mother's Day, it still applies. Truth still applies across the all levels. The other one may be, well, my kids are growing up and they're already out of the house. It's amazing, dads, how much of an impact you have even on your grown children. Or maybe some of you would even say, well, good grief, I'm not even married yet. I'm still young. I'm a teen. I'm in school, I don't have to worry about this. Well, the day will happen. You will get married, you will have kids. And this is a great opportunity for you to start in that way. And there may be some who said, I don't have children. You know, this is the one thing, as you heard those statistics in the beginning, yes, it was be the absence of the father in the house, but it was also the absence of a father figure in their life. And this is the important part of it. As men, we have an opportunity to impact the next generation. And so this greatly applies to every one of us as far as what it means to leave a legacy with those who are following us. And we see in the story, and really the obvious place to start with this is we leave a legacy in our conduct. Now, it seems like in many different ways, no matter what you're going through, when you're talking about the Christian walk, it kind of starts in that place. Conduct is such an important part of the Christian life. And so the first thing that we see is we leave a legacy by our conduct. Look at the story. Once again, you look at the story of the prodigal father. This story to us in our culture today may be one where we go, it's a nice story. But this was a story that Jesus told that absolutely turned the world upside down to every person in that culture. You understand that in this situation, the father was greatly offended, or should have been greatly offended. You see, the son came to him, and we see this story where the younger son comes to the dad and says, Dad, I'd like my inheritance. I want to go. Basically, we kind of see that today as a son going to the dad and saying, Dad, can I have money? I want to go. Just give me some money. But in that culture, when a son would come to the father and he would ask for an inheritance, he was saying a very specific thing to the father. He was saying to his father, you are dead to me. Because you see, the way that it worked then was, in somewhat of the similar way, is when the father died was when the inheritance was then passed on to the children. And the firstborn, which is the older son in the story that we read, gets pretty upset. He would have had a double portion, and then the other sons would have had a single portion of the inheritance. And so the younger son, the prodigal son, he comes and he says, Dad, I want my inheritance. In other words, you are dead to me. Now, in that culture, this is what should have happened. In that moment, when the son said to his father, I want to consider you as dead to me, the father had every right to slap him in the face, disown him, and take his inheritance. And that son would have been left out in the cold with nothing. The father, by his actions, had every right to do just that. But what we see is the actions in which the father actually did. He gives the inheritance to the son. He accepts the statement that the son was saying, that I don't care about you, I don't love you, I wish you were dead because I want the money. The second thing, or the second time we see some incredible conduct with the father, is when the son returns. Now, we're going to go a little bit more into this later, but what's interesting is when the son returns again, we see a powerful moment. The father goes out, he gets to the son, embraces him, brings him in, has a party. Culturally speaking, again, what should have happened was the father actually should have stopped the son before he even got into the village, into the town, and he shames him outside of the city. As a matter of fact, they say it was customary that in that time when something like this would happen, the father would not even welcome the son back. He would actually force him to stay outside of the city, showing his shame to everybody else in the village, and then maybe after time, he would allow the son back in, but not as the son. Notice what the son was saying when he was thinking about coming back. I am not worthy to be called his son, so I will ask him to be what? A servant, a hired hand. Because he understood that's what culture would have dictated at the time. So the dad, in all rights, he could have simply said, you are not my son. I do not recognize you as my son, but I'll hire you. We see incredible conduct. And again, remember, this goes against everything that anyone at that time saw as true and saw as right. And here Jesus is saying, this is the way you leave, this is the conduct in which you leave a legacy. You know, it's amazing that kids watch what we do. They're constantly watching our conduct. You know, when you think about it, you look at your children, and how many times do your children do what you see yourself doing? Dad, do you ever notice that? It's scary, isn't it? I mean, there's sometimes, you know, there's obviously things that they come up with that you wish they didn't. But, you know, you see that cute little picture of Dad mowing the lawn with his son doing what? Pushing his little Fisher-Price bubble-making lawnmower. Why does he do that? Because he wants to be just like Dad. They want to imitate us. They want to do what we do. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. What a a huge statement that that is. Paul is saying that, but that applies to fathers. Follow my example as I follow Jesus' example. Several years ago, Lynn and I would do what was called the dating retreat for teenagers. We would take them, and for a weekend, we would talk about what it looks like to date godly, to find the godly person, to marry that person, what that should look like. And one of the things that always got an interesting response was when I would say to the girls, I would say, girls, I want to tell you something. You know what? You are more than likely going to marry a guy who is exactly like your dad. Now, you can imagine what that response is, girls, as I say that right now. What's going through your head? Oh, gross. And they're like, never. I would never do that. And almost every time, years later, we see them, we're like, see what happened? But we'd also say to the guys, you're going to treat your future wife the same way you see your dad treat your mom. Why? Because you watch and observe what they do. And unless we have to, now that's a good thing on some. If you have a father that has set that godly example, then that is what exactly Paul is saying. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. That's great. If your father has not been that example, then that means that there has to be an intentional movement to go away from what happened and to change the next culture in that. You know, it's an amazing thing because we follow these things. Even today, I find that there are things in my life that I do because I've simply observed them as from my dad from when I was a kid. Every once in a while, I'll hear, you know, that is just like your dad. Maybe you've heard that as well. But you know, our actions are extremely important. In Colossians 3:21, Paul gives us another word of encouragement, and he says, Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, this is one of those passages, but it connects closely with the previous one we talked about, setting our example. How do we discourage our children? Well, there's really one simple way. Not doing what you tell them to do. There's a statement that I think has done more damage than any other statement in the household, and it's called, do as I do, not as I, or it's the opposite way around, sorry. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Have you ever heard that? Has that ever been said to you? You know, that to me is the worst statement that ever was made. Why? Because it's the opposite of what Jesus has said. It should be, do as I do. Follow my example. And what happens is when we tell our children to do as I say, not as I do, then we embitter them because they don't know what's right or not. If I'm not doing what is right, but I'm telling my children to do what is right, they're going to get confused. And so as fathers, our conduct has an incredible impact. As a matter of fact, one of the interesting things is in most churches, I won't say all of them because I'm aware of one where it's opposite, but in most churches, you will find that the men that do not go to church with mom, by the time their kids become teenagers, you know what happens? They stop going to church. Why? Because dad doesn't care. Dads, our conduct is extremely important. Another thing that we see in this story is a legacy. To leave a lasting legacy is in patience. We have to have patience as a father. I mean, this, if you're a father, you know that patience is, it starts off quite early, that you have to be. But this is one of those things that you rarely hear talked about in the father's realm. But look at this story. This is an interesting story of the prodigal father in this, because one of the things that we notice is it says that the father saw the son from a long way away, which tells us something very important. Number one, it tells us that this took place during the day and the father was watching, patiently watching. He waited. He would look out every day, longing for his son to come home. He desperately wanted his son. He was patient with his son. Look, I mean, even the fact that he said, okay, I'll give you the inheritance, and didn't blow up at him, was a huge picture of the patience of the father. But he gives him the inheritance. He lets him go away, waits patiently for him to come back. Some fathers would say, you know what? Okay, I'm done. I'm going to track him down, and we're bringing him back home. But the father had to let the son experience the rock bottom. He waited patiently. Patience is hard sometimes. But in Proverbs 22, verse 6, we receive this truth. Start children off in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. I love that passage because it's such a powerful truth. Although it's one of those ones where a lot of times people will say, okay, it's not working. It's kind of that idea, don't ever pray for patience because you know it's going to follow. Yeah. You know, one of those things as a parent is when we teach our children the truths of God's and we show them the way in which they should live, the one thing, it may take time. We may see our children go through some very difficult circumstances before they come back to the place where they recognize their need for Christ and their need for what you taught them. A lot of times, patience takes years and years and years. Yeah. Winston Churchill, maybe you've heard of that guy? His father thought he was so dull that he would never be able to get a job in England. Not very patient on the front end. G.K. Chesterton, an English writer, maybe you've heard of him? He could not read until he was 8 years old. A writer. One teacher said, if we could open your head, we would not find any brain, but only a lump of white fat. Wow. Thomas Edison, his father almost convinced him that he was a dunce. I mean, we're seeing great fathers here, aren't we? Albert Einstein. I mean, everybody knows Albert Einstein. He did so poorly in high school, with the exception of mathematics, that his teachers asked him to drop out of school. Patience is necessary when raising children. When we raise them in the ways of the Lord, when they are old, they will not depart from it. The father, the prodigal father, gives us an amazing picture of patience. But we see more with this. To leave a legacy means we also leave a legacy of love. Now, this is kind of a hard one. Because men, we struggle to display love. We kind of reserve that. We're manly men, right? I mean, it's a tough thing. Be tough. How do we show love to our children? Do you show love to your wife? I love this passage in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Children are an inheritance from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. What an incredible thought. Guys, your family is a reward from God, not a job. I like that picture that, you know, it's blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, we have three, and I'm absolutely blessed. I don't need more in my quiver for that. Someday that quiver will be grandchildren. I'll be good with that. But we see this necessity for love. And as a matter of fact, it is amazing in the story, once again, of the prodigal father, you see this love displayed. The son declares dad dead. I see you as dead. Give me your money now. Now, let me ask this, dads. How would you have handled that situation? You know, that would have been a pretty tough one. Because you see, any one of us look at this and we go, That was absolutely wrong. The father had every right to do everything to disown that son. As a matter of fact, it was customary for that to happen. In a situation like that, the son would have been dead to the father, never to come back, no matter what. And as a matter of fact, it would have been end of subject. When the son came back, the story that everybody expected was not the story that Jesus told. You see, what should have happened again is when the son came back, the father should have made him stay outside of the city, shamed him in front of the whole village for what he did. But what's interesting is in the story, we see the father do something very different. And again, this is something that we just look at and we easily go over. In the story, it says that the father saw the son from a long distance away, and he ran out to the son, and it says that he embraced him and kissed him. And then he threw a party for him. Okay, that statement, we just go, all right, cool. Sounds kind of nice. But do we understand what this meant? The father first says he ran out to meet the son. Now, when you take the word ran and you look at it and what it is, actually it is the word raced out, which means that the father ran as hard as he could to get to his son before his son could get there. What that meant was this. The father, now we wear jeans or we wear shorts, whatever you wear. Guys, we don't wear the full flowing robes anymore. So what that meant for that time was when dad was going to run, you know what dad had to do? Dad had to grab that and he had to hike it up here and he just ran as fast as he could and as hard as he could. By doing so, he actually brought shame on himself in front of the community, in front of the village. Because a man of stature, an older man, a father, never runs, let alone race. But he was willing to take the shame because he wanted to get to his son before his son could reach the village, because as the son would come back, everybody knew what the son had done. And so as he would come into the village, the people would begin to taunt him and shame him, calling him names, doing all kinds of horrible things to him. And the father wanted to stop all of that before it could happen. Now tell me that's not love. The dad ran out there. Now, consider this. Now the dad ran out to him and he wraps his arms around his son, embraces him, and kisses him. Now we look at that and we go, it's a Hallmark moment. That's really more of a Mother's Day thing, I guess. But, you know, it's like, oh, what a beautiful moment. But can you imagine what that moment was? Here's the son who went away, squandered everything that he had, spent his days in a pig pen feeding pigs. This meant that he smelled atrocious. Have you ever been around pigs? You don't get too many colognes that are owed to pig. And all of a sudden, here his son comes back. He smells like pigs. He smells like sweat because he's been walking. He's been nasty. He's been eating horrible stuff. He hasn't cleaned. It says that his clothes were probably tattered. He was stinky. And the dad doesn't even think about it, but he wraps his arms around him and he kisses his son. You see, this is the picture of love that is shown. The fact, now understand this again. When the father kissed his son, it said more than just, I'm glad you're back. That moment when he kissed him, that meant that he was accepting his son. That meant that he was forgiving everything that the son had done, and he was now bringing him back in. And the fact that the father gave him the ring, that was the ring of the family that was saying, no, you are my son. You are not a hired hand. You are my son once again. And so here we see this picture of the father loving on his son. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, it says these words, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, we see an incredible picture of love. Dads, oftentimes our picture of showing love is supplying for our family. But it goes beyond that. How do we show love to our family? Well, one way is just simply give time. This is the one commodity that many of us as fathers struggle to give our family in a way of showing love. There's a story of a young man that was at home. His dad comes home from work. It had been a long day at work, and he was tired. He was frustrated. There were things that happened at work. The son walks up to the dad, and he says, "Dad, how much money do you make an hour?" And the dad's like, "What a dumb question." Well, I guess if you must know, a little frustrated, he says, "Well, I get paid $20 an hour." Okay. The son kind of goes back to playing a little bit while the dad's doing the work that he needed to be doing. The son turns to him and he says, "Dad?" "Yeah?" He says, "Can I have $10? And the dad was kind of wondering. He's like, "This is weird. It's almost time for bed." And he kind of gets frustrated with the boy. And he goes, "Well, whatever, whatever." So he hands the son $10. He says, "Son, go get ready for bed. Time to go to bed." So the son goes and gets ready for bed. And then he's laying in bed. And he yells out and he says, "Dad!" The dad, now really frustrated because the son should be in bed, should be asleep. Dad walks into the room and he says, "What?" And the son reaches under his pillow and he pulls out a wad of $1 bills. And he hands them to his dad with the $10 bill. And his dad is so frustrated. He says, "If you had money, why did you ask me for $10? And the son says, "Dad, I didn't have enough. But here's $20. Can I have an hour with you?" Time says love. Show affection. Again, this is an area where dads, we struggle. Showing affection to our children, showing affection to our spouses. Affection is kind of a strange thing to some of us, but it's necessary within the home to leave a legacy. We need to show affection. You know, can I give dads one thing that will make probably the greatest impact on your children moving forward? Show affection to their mom. When the kids are there, give her a kiss. Let them go, "Ew." You know what? My girls still do that. It's kind of fun. You know, before you go to work, give her a kiss. Let them see it. Let them see you hug your wife. You know why? Because that shows that you love the wife, you love your wife, but it shows them you love them too. And you're leaving a legacy. One more of those. How do we show love? Tell them you're proud of them. This is the one line that I believe makes the greatest impact on a child. For a child to hear their dad say, "I am proud of you," makes a huge impact. Any chance you can, notice their wins in life and tell them you're proud of them. Now the list can go on. Those are just a couple of ways to show love. Leave a legacy of love. One more as we close. Leave a legacy by teaching. Now, this is the interesting part of the story, because in this story, the teaching actually we see takes place with the older son, not with the younger son. It happens with you. We notice that the father has a personal conversation. I love it. The father starts throwing a party and the older son's not even there. I mean, it's like, wow, that's kind of not nice. But he throws this party. The older son's not there. He comes back, finds out what it is, refuses to go in. So the father comes out and begins to give a lesson or teaching the son. And in verse 31, the father says, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." And then he says, but this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I love this because the dad doesn't get mad at the older son. He doesn't sit there and tell him, oh, quit complaining. Just get changed and come in and party. He takes the opportunity to actually give him a couple of items to think about. A couple of things of teaching. First, we see that the father actually in this story kind of gives this understanding. Sin has a consequence. There is a result for what your brother did. And if you listen closely, what he said, everything I have is yours. You see, the father was saying, even though the son is coming home, he has no claim on anything that is now all yours. So understand that and even get what that means. Usually what happens is what the inheritance is or the estate of the father continues to grow as time goes on. So actually now what happens is everything that the father has from that point on to the day that the father dies, the older son has, the younger son has no claim. Understand, sin has its consequence. The father didn't say that I'm now bringing the younger son back into the inheritance. No, he lost that. But it also, he took a moment to teach the son the value of life over the value of things. Son, your brother was lost and was now found. No inheritance can compare to the value of life over the value of things. Dads, we have been given the responsibility to teach our families, and this is not to be left to mom alone. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, these commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. We are to be ever teaching our children the truth of God's word. Let me ask you this. Dads, how many of you want to know that your children walk with the Lord? I hope all. See, in 3 John 1, verse 4, this is such a huge verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How will our children walk in the truth? Dads, they will walk in the truth when you teach them the truth. I have watched time and time and time again where dad has not taught and children have walked away. Some is taught, some is caught. We are always teaching. My dad loved to work in the garage. He worked with wood and he was pretty good with it. I didn't become so good at it. But you know, there was one thing that he did when I would spend time with him. He would teach me how to correctly use the tool. He would teach me how to correctly cut a board or how to sand it. All of the little things to make things a little bit easier in the process. He was constantly teaching me that even now, years later, there are some ways that I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to do it that way, not the way I'm doing it. Dads, you're teaching your family. Every opportunity, teach them what it looks like to be a godly man or a godly woman. Teach them what it means to be in the world but not of the world. Teach them about Jesus. Even as they grow old, continue to teach. You want to leave a legacy for your family? Show them how to live godly lives with your conduct. Be patient as they learn and they grow. Love them in ways they can see. Teach them constantly. This is leaving a father's legacy. Dads, can we do that? I hope so. Now, we challenged dads for the service, but as I close, we want to celebrate fathers as well. So here's what I would say to the rest of the family today. Appreciate dad. Love on him as well, even though he doesn't say he wants it. Love on dad and enjoy the time today. Happy Father's Day. to our fathers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the picture in Scripture that points to the incredible Father that we have. We thank you that as our Abba Father, you have displayed for us all that we need to be able to leave a lasting legacy for our children and our families. Lord, I pray that we would always be mindful of ways in which we can impact the next generation, whether it be our own children or whether it be those who look up to us as a father. May we always be the example of Jesus Christ to those who are watching, and may they hear Jesus from our lips all the time. Lord, I thank you for our fathers. I thank you for those fathers that have given us the legacy of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would do the same. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.